world indifferent to destruction of Yemen's historic tower houses. The state terrorism of Saudi Arabia against Yemen has not only killed over 10,000 men, women and children besides destroying schools, hospitals, power generation plants, libraries, mosques, markets and waterworks, but has also not spared the historic tower houses which are considered the heritage of mankind. Stay with us for excerpts from conscientious U.S. journalist Mimi Kirk's report on this crime against humanity, which would be followed by Azad Essar article, Where is the outrage over slaughter in Yemen? With so much bloodshed occurring in the world, media coverage of the conflict in Yemen often takes a back seat to those in Syria, Iraq, and Libya. But Yemen's war is causing horrific destruction and misery for its people. Over 10,000 innocent Yemenis have been killed, many of them civilians, and those that survive face starvation and a lack of water, electricity, and medical care. The US-backed Saudi Arabia-led coalition has been showering bombs on the Yemeni people since March 2015 after the popular Ansarullah movement ousted the unelected and unpopular Saudi-supported president Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi. A Saudi blockade and coalition airstrikes have brought about much of the suffering, with little humanitarian aid getting through and a third of strikes hitting civilian sites. Some of these strikes on civilians have targeted Yemen's historic buildings, including houses in such cities as Sa'da in the north and the capital Sana'a to its south. Sana'a is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. Its more than 6,000 tower houses built centuries ago are particularly admired for the gingerbread-style exteriors patterned with fired bricks and white gypsum. They are architectural jewels. Michel Lamprakos, a University of Maryland architecture professor who has written a book on conservation efforts in Sana'a, says. A number of these Sana'a houses are among the at least 75 historic sites that have been damaged since the beginning of the war. In June 2015, Saudi strike destroyed five houses. In September 2015, 10 members of the same family were killed in a strike that pummeled the tower house in which they lived. And earlier this month, strikes hit the headquarters of the National Security Bureau, damaging neighboring homes. Michel Lamprakos says that the destruction of houses in such a dense and cohesive area threatens the city's broader structure. The houses are part of an integrated urban fabric, she says. They are grouped around gardens which lie at the heart of religious complexes. The bombings leave gaps in this fabric, endangering buildings on either side and making the damage potentially progressive. It's not the first time that the capital's precious buildings have been threatened. In the 1970s, the introduction of amenities into the old city, such as plumbing, caused structural problems. Piped water was installed, but no drainage, precipitating rising groundwater, which led to collapsed tower houses. Local and foreign architects convinced Yemen's government to put Sana'a up for UNESCO World Heritage Site status with the aim of applying conservation practices to the city's continued modernization. UNESCO carried out an international safeguarding campaign and in 1986 granted the entire old city of Sana'a this status. Lamprakos notes that until the current conflict, 3.5 decades of sustained conservation activity had taken place with architects, engineers, builders, craftsmen and advocates dedicating themselves to the work. She says, "The old city has become a source of local pride. It represents a living building tradition that sustains the historic structure." Unlike many preserved historic cities in Europe and the US, Sana'a's old city has not been gentrified. The Yemenis who live there are often poor and rent rather than own. The lack of wealth among the area's residents could make it even harder to return structures to their former glory after the conflict, not to mention survive it in the meantime. Moreover, Yemen, as one of the poorest countries in West Asia, had already been in dire straits before the war, with the country's water supply as well as its oil production, upon which Yemen depends for its limited income, dwindling living conditions were already deteriorating. The conflict has made this situation worse. With peace looking like it will be a long time coming for the foreseeable future, Yemen's people simply need the basics. Only when food, water and medicine are available can more long-term planning occur, including the restoration of Sana'a's stunning historic houses. Lamprakos says, "In times of conflict, the first priority is human life, but when the historic fabric of the city is targeted, it's the soul of a people of a community that's being targeted." Meanwhile, Azad Issa, in his article, "Where is the outrage over slaughter in Yemen?" says the lack of mobilization over the travesty in Yemen is hypocritical. The US is still gatekeeper of this conflict and winners, losers remain the same, he adds. A fortnight ago, ballistic missiles fired by the Saudis crashed into homes in a residential area of Hodeidah in western Yemen. When the dust settled, residents described the scene as carnage. Body parts were mangled with the debris of human life, furniture, brick walls and rubble. Medics said 26 civilians were killed in the strikes. 60 others were injured, but this is not an unfamiliar story for Yemen. Since the aerial bombardment began in March last year, led by Saudi regime in conjunction with the UAE, Qatar, Sudan, Egypt, Morocco, Senegal, Bahrain, Jordan, and Kuwait, over 10,000 people, including 4,000 civilians, have been mercilessly massacred. While the story of the intervention is masked by purported support for President Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi, who was deposed by the popular Ansarullah movement in January last year, Yemen has just been turned into a playground to test for the American-supplied weaponry of Saudi regime and its coalition partners in crime. The coalition has devastated the country, leaving millions maimed, starving and desperate. Yemen's economy has collapsed and left a people reeling under rubble. Recently, the UN expressed alarm at the sharp rise in civilian casualties. Since August 6th, when talks between the two factions collapsed, at least 329 civilians have been killed and 429 injured. The UN's comment follows the release of a report earlier this month by the Yemen Data Project that found that at least one-third of all airstrikes have hit civilian sites, including schools, hospitals, and mosques. One school in Taiz was hit 9 times. It is reported that out of the 8,600 airstrikes launched, at least 3,000 hit the wrong targets. A few days earlier, it had been revealed that some 7 million people, including 1.5 million children, were battling malnutrition and that the country was on the verge of famine. According to the latest estimates about Yemen, 370,000 children are suffering acute malnutrition. Images of grotesquely sparse bodies have begun to circulate among human rights groups and aid agencies with little effect. Oxfam says the war has left 21 million people in need of humanitarian aid, more than any other country. But international outrage to the events in Yemen remained subdued. When it is spoken about, it is described in circles as among the most forgotten on the globe. But this is a misnomer. Yemen is not forgotten, it has been willfully ignored. And given that some of the main players in the UN Security Council are trying their best to deflect from the issue, the lack of global regard for the matter is unsurprising. From the onset, Saudi regime has been on a campaign to divert any attention from its crimes in the country at the UN Security Council, despite not having a seat there. Foreign Policy magazine described Saudi regime as having succeeded in blocking actions to restrain its military conduct and highlight the humanitarian costs of the conflict. Meanwhile, the Great Satan, the US and UK, the primary benefactors in the war in Yemen, consider the alliance with the regime in Riyadh as so important that they are willing to sacrifice their self-respect to keep that alliance alive. The UK has sold more than £3.7 billion of arms to the regime in Riyadh since the airstrikes began. Recently, the Great Satan, the US Senate, voted against blocking a $1.15 billion arms deal with Saudi regime, tabled by lawmakers who say war crimes were being committed in Yemen. Overall, the Obama administration has sold $100 billion worth of arms to the kingdom in Riyadh. Many observers say the US is only supporting Saudi regime and the war does not live up to any international standards of scrutiny, nor is there any end game in sight. Even the UN has tapered accusations at the behest of the Saudis. In June, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said he had removed the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen from a UN blacklist for violating child rights because the kingdom threatened to cut funding to the UN. "This was one of the most painful and difficult decisions I have had to make," he said at the time. The US, however, is still the gatekeeper of the conflict. The Saudis do not have the technical know-how to run a campaign of this nature on their own and need US expertise to continue its campaign. But little is likely to change. Yemen has been for the longest time a poor, reclusive, abused country, and its war has remained purposefully enslaved by its masters and ignored, even by Muslims. Very few in the disparate parts that make up the so-called Muslim world, from Malaysia, Indonesia and Pakistan to Tunisia, have managed to raise their voices against the catastrophic attack against people in Yemen. So, while millions of Muslims embarked on the Hajj pilgrimage to Arabia this month, hundreds of people in neighboring Yemen were being massacred. The lack of mobilization over the travesty in Yemen is hypocritical, but on deeper inspection, it is clear that the regime in Riyadh here again is a mere servant of the American empire. The winners-losers of this conflict remain the same.